sort of stuff. Yeah. The other story that we liked across the weekend was the result in the India-South Africa Test Series.
Extraordinary result.
Of course, being in South Africa. Now, if we're going to talk South African cricket, there's not too many better people you want to be talking to than the great Barry Richards, who is an icon of cricket across the planet. And he's been good enough to join us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Barry, welcome.
How are you doing, guys? How are things?
We are well, mate. How are you after a three-test series against India? How are you coping?
Well, I was a little worried after the first one, but the next two, the blokes came to the party and obviously they played really well.
So what were the expectations coming in? We were talking about this yesterday, Barry, but we're big cricket fans in here, and losing the first test, it would have been a huge challenge, I'm sure, to get back on track. But what were the expectations for this team coming into this series?
Well, there's been a lot of things happening, you know, behind the scenes with the administration has not been at the best. So, you know, the expectation from a lot of people, particularly the cricket lovers, was not high at all. And when they lost the first test, everybody said, oh, here we go. So I think Dean Elgar is one of those, how do I describe him? He's a real little bulldog. You know, he's not pretty to watch. He's not the sort of guy you're going to rush across the road to watch bat. But he's very hard to get out, and he's just so competitive. He makes Kohli look like Cinderella.
So, Barry, as you said, after the first test, things weren't looking too good. Quinny de Kock decided to retire halfway through the series. And then you win the next...
I'll play golf with him tomorrow.
Are you really? Well,
He lives about 400 metres from me.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, Were you surprised that Quinny would go down this path? He's obviously been in the news a lot over the last 6 months or so, but still really quite young and still an incredible cricketer. What happened there?
Yeah, I think the bubble got him to a large degree. I mean, he's very, you know, he's the sort of guy who likes to get out, likes to get about. His wife's also has just had a baby. So, you know, the fact that he was in a bubble all the time, I don't think sat all that well with him. And, of course, he's very good at white ball cricket. And, you know, he can pick and choose for a big bash. He can go to the Caribbean League. He can go to Pakistan League. He can go to the RPL. He can go to England to play all T20. So there's a lot of options for him. But, he talked a little bit about it. You know, we played golf a few times. So I knew that, you know, the bubble was getting to him. So whilst it was a surprise, it wasn't a total surprise for me. But, I mean, you know, he's still going to be available for limited overs cricket for South Africa. And, I mean, he's a wonderful player in that concept. So I'm sure he'll be heard of again.
So when that happened and then, as we said, you lost the first test and then things turned around, and largely because of this great young bowling artillery you've got, it's incredible how there's five or six of them that all could all do a job for you on any given day. Was this brewing?
Not key. The probably the quickest of them all has been out injured.
Yeah,
it was nice. I mean, Dwayne Olafia came back from a cold pack, and this young fellow Jansen, he's a real fun. Coming from the other side of the wicket gives you another option, and he's very tall, so he gets that additional bounce. And the first test, I think, you know, was his initial debut. So, and I was naturally very nervous and didn't probably put his best foot forward. But I think, you know, the second test, he started to feel a lot more comfortable, and that's when he started to really produce. And he tested all the Indian batsmen. No one got on top of him, really. And that was just a real find for South Africa. Came out of the woodwork.
19 wickets for the series for Jansen, as you say, the big left armer. It was great to watch. I mean, then you had got Kagiso Rabada doing his thing to lead the pack. And in the end, I suppose, Barry, and I'd love to get your take on it, that seemed to be the difference, the bowling artillery that you had against India's bowling artillery. They didn't sort of bowl as well in the conditions.
Well, obviously, when you play at home, you understand the conditions a lot better. And, I mean, I think the wickets were a little bit conducive. They just gave the quicks enough options. And Ashwin, their biggest spinner, you know, in terms of a match winner, really didn't turn that big on the last couple of days. So he was never really a factor, which I think India thought if they could pile up enough runs and then put South Africa under pressure on the last day, that that Ashwin would come into his own. But that just didn't prove to be the case. And the South African pricks just bowled really well. They caught well. You know, they fielded, you know, really well. So, and that's very important, catching, you know, making sure that you, you know, you don't give the better players a second opportunity. So that was also very good.
Tell us a little bit about Keegan Petersen and what you think he could be capable of doing into the future, because we saw some exciting glimpses.
Yeah, he's 28, so it's not like he just, you know, he's been around for a few years, and I think he probably hasn't put his best foot forward up until now. And I just think, you know, the fact that he got a couple of 50s early on, it really, you know, did give him a boost that he needed. And I think, you know, a fellow like Dean Elgar, who's a shrewd skipper as well, just gave him the confidence and just said, listen, we're backing you. You're the kiddie for here for number three, because number three is your vital position. And I think that's one of the things that South Africa did better than India. Their top order, particularly at three, when you lose a wicket early, they didn't fire. And the much vaunted, you know, of batting just didn't come to the party and didn't get enough big scores. And that's probably a bit of a difference as well.
We talk a lot on this program about the need for South African cricket to be strong for world cricket. It can't just be England, Australia and India. And South Africa's been so strong now over a period of time, and you're going through this challenging period. Do you think this is the impetus South African cricket needs to become really strong again?
Well, it should be. I mean, the players have now provided the impetus. It's up to the administration to come to the party. I mean, there's no strategic plan. There never has been a strategic plan. It's been, you know, hand to mouth. They've lost a few sponsors, but this is a golden opportunity, and let's hope that they grasp it, because the players have done their bit now. So now it's up to the admin to make sure that they capitalise on this and they do all the right things. You know, junior cricket, the support, our equivalent of Sheffield Shield, all those things, they need to be put into perspective and into a decent space, and they've got to make a decent investment in that, and that's the challenge now for the admin.
We've obviously had the Ashes over here this summer, a bit of a one side of the fair with Australia and England.
It wasn't really, was it?
We weren't too depressed about that, Barry, I must admit.
the jokes are just coming out. Why didn't the Pobs get hold of Novak? It took you 2 weeks to get him out.
That's not bad. That's pretty bloody good, actually. I like that. But one of the conversations from an English cricket perspective has been the focus on white ball cricket to the detriment of red ball and test cricket and their performances in the last couple of years. What's the slant from a South African perspective? Because I've just had a look at the calendar up until July, and there's four more test matches, and there's about 15 one-day and T20 games coming up for South Africa. What's the bent towards from the South African Cricket Association?
Yeah, I mean, I think white ball cricket is providing the income. It provides the television revenue, and that's why everybody is just so focused on it. But if you want red ball to survive, then you've got to make sure that, you know, you give it some sort of priority. You know, for example, county cricket is played in the early part of the summer where the ball whizzes about, and in the late part of the summer where it spins a bit. But in the middle portion, when the weather's good, it's all limited overs cricket. So you don't get batsmen learning how to bat and to occupy the crease, not necessarily to occupy the crease, but to create big runs. Mm. That's a challenge for England. Similarly with us, we need to get our domestic competition and get a nice balance between white ball cricket and red ball cricket so that test cricket survives. I mean, I must admit, the way it's going, I have a real concern for red ball cricket.
Yeah, so you would have seen Virat Kohli up close over the last few weeks. He's obviously relinquished the captaincy of India. Are you concerned? I mean, it's been a while since we've seen him at his absolute best, and we saw some uncharacteristic innings from him through the series. Have you detected anything that's different from him, or what's going on with Virat?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the you know, the wickets are a little bit more conducive for the quicks, and that, you know, that's always been a challenge for Indian batsmen, like even Sachin when he came. Yeah, you know, I mean, he didn't ever have his best, times at the crease. He's always had a little bit of a battle. Yeah, and I think that Virat's going through that. I think losing the captaincy of the white ball, there was obviously, I think there was more to that. You know, there might have been a little bit of a bubble with Sourav Ganguly, and I think he was on the cusp of being fired from the Red Bull games, and he decided to call it a day. So I think there's been a few things going on behind the scenes which hasn't pleased Virat, because, you know, up until now he's been, you know, King Kohli, and everybody's been bowing down to him, and suddenly, you know, it's not happening. So it's going to be a real mental challenge for him to get back up there.
Well, it's don't worry about them. Let's enjoy South Africa's success throughout this series, Barry. And I want to know, before I let you go, what are you playing off when you play golf with Quinny? What's your handicap?
Quinny hits it a mile, and you wouldn't believe it, but he's right-handed.
Oh, is he?
It's a Brian Lara.
He's totally right-handed, and there's a good story for you. Why is he bat left-handed? I asked him that question a long time ago. And his dad used to like Graham Pollock, so he made him bat left-handed when he was a kid.
Well, that's the whole Mike Hussey thing.
Right-handed.
Mike Hussey was right-handed and loved Alan Border, so he switched.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, he's a pretty good golfer, but because he hits it so far, when it goes off the planet, it lands in Mumbai, which is a bit of a problem for us.
You haven't answered the question, Barry, about what your handicap is.
No, I'm playing off 7.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Very good. I reckon your short game would be pretty sharp.
Not as good as Beck Chappell. I've got to get to Greg. I'll tell you a lovely story, too. I happened to break my age, and a friend of mine, Gary Player, was around. And this guy said, you know, Gary, that Barry actually broke his age. He said, I must ring him and congratulate him. So he rings me, and I'm, oh, yeah, no, it's a bucket list. You know, I really love my golf, blah, 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 blah. I said, I've done it 2,000 times.
We had Gary on the program last year.
You know what went through my mind? I didn't have the guts to say it. Gary, have you ever got 100 at Lord's?
Save that for another day, Barry. I reckon it's still up your sleeve, that one.
I will, yeah.
Good on you.
He lives close to me as well, so we play the odd game of golf as well.
You got him covered next time, and just keep that one up your sleeve. I reckon that's a ripper, just as he's about to take his backswing.
Yeah.
Great to chat, Barry. I always love chatting cricket with the greats of the game. You certainly fit that mould. And congratulations to South Africa for the series win. Well done.
Thanks, guys. And keep in touch. And it was an interesting series over there. Let's hope the Poms are a lot better next time out.
That would be nice, yeah, for all of us, I reckon. Barry Richards, South African cricketing great. Well, world cricketing great, let's be honest, with the summary of the 2-1 series win over India.
Might go and live near Barry. He seems to have a few good people to play golf with.
I reckon it'd be a nice little estate. I've got a feeling it might be gated.
Yes.